You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. Dang, this Monday's going by fast. But hey, listen, we're gonna pause our conversation here with me and just go to a caller on the same topic. So Alabama's state auditor, Andrew Sorrell, former member of the Alabama State House and hails from the North Alabama region and now working as our state auditor. And he is also, by the way, just like Stephanie Smith was on last week, has been at the Club for Growth Foundation gathering in Washington, D.C. Want to get his thoughts on ESG, Alabama's position in the whole fight against ESG. And without further ado, let me just welcome him on. Auditor Sorrell, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Phil, always great to be on your show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you making some time. Now, you guys are actually still traveling, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. We stayed through the weekend. The Foundation Fellowship Program ended yesterday morning, and we're actually going to be here most of this week. We've got some good meetings lined up. Both U.S. senators are going to have breakfast with Senator Britt, and we're going to have a sit-down in Senator Tuberville's office Wednesday afternoon at 4:30. So I'm looking forward to getting to know both of them a little bit better and just talking about the state auditor's office with them too, make sure they're informed on what we're doing on our end as well.
Well, good deal. Well, listen, I know that you are known as a fiscal conservative, very fitting since you were at the Club for Growth gathering, which is, you know, one of their chief causes is fiscal policy. But let me ask you this, ESG, Alabama, your thoughts, where do we stand?
We're in better shape than a lot of states. Of course, Senator Dan Roberts passed the ESG bill this year that had to do with state contracts. We can dive a little deeper on that if you want to. You know, we've also seen State Treasurer Young Boozer pull $750 million out of BlackRock management.
Yeah,
he was frustrated, not trying to put words in his mouth, but he was frustrated with some of the things BlackRock was doing and kind of impeding the state of Alabama. So he said, hey, we want to do business with people who want to do business with us. So he moved $750 million of our taxpayer dollars out of their management. So I think we started to take some of the steps that we need to. I'm not sure we've gone as far as I would like to see us go. You know, other states are currently investigating everything in state government to make sure that we are not doing anything to promote ESG. Because what happens is you get these large states, like let's just take a large conservative state like Texas, for instance, and their money is in all these pension funds. Now, when you and I get our stock voting right little packets in the mail, you know, let's say we own 100 shares of Ford, we probably don't take the time to vote for who the new CEO is because we know our 100 shares is not going to move the needle. But imagine if you're voting on behalf of the entire state of Texas's pension. Now you're talking some serious votes. So there have been some new companies that have sprung up. Vivek Ramaswamy, guy running for president, started Strive Asset Management to deal with this exact problem. And what Strive does is they review all the corporate shareholder proposals and the corporate officers, the people running for those board positions, and they vote conservative for the conservative state, which is the exact opposite of what BlackRock, Vanguard, and some of the other State Street, some of the other big ones are doing.
Well, and you know, I got an article, the Breitbart ran one this weekend, said that, I think it's Morningstar, did a recent study that said that more ESG-based funds have closed down in the first 9 months of 2023 than in the previous 3 years combined. And I would, you know, Larry Fink from BlackRock is trying to say, well, it's gotten so political. I think actually it's gotten so unmanageable. They're losing the whole value of the investment in favor of going to the virtue signaling, and people don't want to lose their money in that kind of a market.
Well, I saw that Larry Fink said that, and it really cracked me up because I was like, okay, when was ESG criteria not political? It's always been political.
Yeah.
So basically, imagine you are the corporation, you are the CEO of a large corporation, and your corporation is starting to struggle, and you're not really making money. What you can do is you can adopt ESG criteria, and you can say, we're no longer going to judge ourselves on that old-fashioned metric called profit, right? That's always how we've judged whether a corporation is worth saving or not, is if it made a profit. that's too antiquated. How about this? Why don't we judge ourselves based on how much diversity we have on our board?
Yeah.
You know, do we have some LGBTQ members? Do we have some minority representation on our board? How about this? How about we judge ourselves on how much we've reduced our carbon footprint in the last 12 months? How about we, you know, judge ourselves on basically anything other than what has to do with actual profit? It's environmental, social, and governance standards. And when you do that, even if your corporation doesn't make a profit, you can point back to the last 12 months and say, well, hey, we might not have made a profit, but look at how successful we were at all of these other goals that we set for ourselves at the beginning of the year. It's kind of a very convenient cop-out for these CEOs. And it's no surprise that a lot of these ESG funds are going away because, I mean, the companies, you can only sustain a company that is losing money for so long. And I think people are getting tired of putting their money in ESG funds that are underperforming the rest of the market. By the way, another big problem with the ESG funds is companies are taking, they knew ESG was kind of a hot button for the last couple of years. All they did in some cases was take funds they already had, which weren't doing very well, and relabel them as ESG fund, and then everybody started buying them. The SEC actually had to come in and crack down on that.
Yeah, I saw that the SEC was cracking down with regulatory efforts, which is funny because technically that's, you know, the SEC operating during the Biden administration actually cracking down. But so I guess how's Alabama's look? I mean, I don't know if this is really falling into the auditor's wheelhouse per se. I'm sure it is in the treasurer. I'm sure it is in the AG. And I'm sure it is under contract review committees. But where do you see this going for the state of Alabama under the new anti-ESG bill that was passed?
Well, the bill specifically gave the enforcement mechanism to the attorney general. Now, we're in good shape because I believe Steve Marshall is with us on this. In fact, he testified before Congress on ESG. I think he's written some op-eds on ESG. So I know where he stands. I'm very comfortable with the fact that he's going to be the one enforcing this new law that passed in Alabama. Unfortunately, the state auditor's office really doesn't have anything to do with these ESG standards. I wish we did. I wish I had some oversight, but I don't. That does, as you noted, reside with the state treasurer and the AG. Now, getting into the specifics of what that bill actually did that Dan Roberts was able to get through is it said, look, if you are going to be a woke company, then you're not going to get state contracts. If you're going to use ESG criteria, then we're going to basically not let you bid on our contract. Now, there's exclusions. If you're basically a financial institution, and I think this is where Regions Bank was able to get in there and get some amendments on that bill. They were really fighting the bill hard earlier this year.
Yeah,
I think it actually got failed in committee at one point. They were you can see their fingerprints on the final outcome of this bill. But by and large, that is going to take effect October 1st, and it's going to prevent a lot of woke companies in Alabama from getting government contracts, which I think is a great thing.
No, I agree with you, and I think it's going to be incumbent upon us to I mean, all you have to do is go to their websites, a lot of them. I mean, like Regions and Coca-Cola and United Airlines, and you can go to their websites and just type in, you know, ESG score, and they've got a page where they tout their ESG scores, and if they are, then it's a sure giveaway that they don't need to be contracting with the state of Alabama for whatever. Because it's, people don't realize to the extent that state governments have to contract with outside private entities because there's no way for state government to do everything. You don't want to have your own airline. You don't want to have, you know, your own whatever. And so check in to make sure that they are not laden with ESG policies and investments and banking and insurance and all of it is something that's going to be – it's got to be trackable, and we're going to stay on top of it.
That's correct. And to be really clear here, you know, I'm not saying that I'm against ESG funds. If some corporation like BlackRock wants to offer an ESG fund and people voluntarily want to put their own money into it and earn a lower return, hey, that's a really dumb decision, but it's your money. You can do whatever you want. But it is good to see some of them failing for lack of support. Now, what I oppose is BlackRock changing the name of underperforming funds and labeling them ESG and tricking people. That's corrupt. I'm glad the SEC is putting a stop to that. And I'm opposed to Alabama or Texas or Florida, these conservative states, I'm opposed to their pension money going into ESG funds because there's something called fiduciary duty. And when you're managing money for others, your number one responsibility is to make the most money possible with for them without taking undue risk. And they're trying to say, oh, well, there's a risk to the environment. See, now they've changed it from shareholder capitalism to stakeholder capitalism. A corporation no longer just has to make a profit for the shareholders. Now they have to please all these outside interests. What other community interests are there that the corporation has to you know, please or cater to? Well, one of the stakeholders is literally the environment. If you read ESG, the environment is considered a stakeholder in the corporation. It's just crazy.
It is crazy. And I guess as a final thought here to end our time, you know, one of the things that's so frustrating in this too is watching lending institutions like Regions Bank that is withholding capital from good companies because they're not woke enough. And then the companies feel forced to have to go woke in order to get the capital they need to keep their business solvent. And that's just absolutely antithetical to the free market. And to me, any bank, any lending institution that is getting away from credit scores and moving to ESG scores is violating the tenets of what the banking industry should stand for overall.
Yeah, and I'm particularly sensitive on this topic because I've been a victim of cancel culture because I don't own, you know, very woke businesses. You know, one of the businesses I own is a gun store. I have two gun stores, one in Florence, one in Huntsville. Well, as you can guess, those are not very politically popular businesses to own for insurance companies. And our credit card processor canceled us with no explanation. And then our insurance company canceled us with no explanation, though the agent later told us that the reason was because we sell too many guns.
Wow. Wow. Well, there you have it. I mean, and you're a small business owner, which is the backbone of the economy, and all that does is hurt small business, period. Well, listen, State Auditor Andrew Sorrell, we appreciate your insights. Thanks for the work you do, and we look forward to hearing more about this in the days to come, all right?
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate the interview.
All right, thank you. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back and put a lid on this one. But, yeah, this is something you guys got to stay in tune with because it's out there. And it is gerrymandering your economy in favor of wokeness. Gerrymandering your economy in favor of wokeness. And it just ain't right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah. Changing the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, we're gonna switch gears here in a few minutes. But before I do, I got to tell you, during the break, you can hear ads playing, right? I know you do. You hear the ads playing. Just know this, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity, okay? We're actually a 501c3. We run our business like any other business off of different revenue streams, one of which is charitable giving and the other is ad sales. So if you listen to this show and you're thinking, man, those guys talk just like me. Those guys sound like I sound. They think like I think. And you know for a fact that all of our listeners, if that's the way it is, would be engaged by your particular business. Service-oriented or product-oriented, you tell us what you want to do. We'd love to have you advertise at Right Side Radio. So you don't call the station because we're not owned by the station. We're a standalone entity. We send them our signal. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And you click on Listen Live. You click on Advertising and Contact. And you send us a message, and we'll get right back to you. And so we'd love to have you engage with us and join the team. You want to advertise on Right Side Radio, go to rightsideradio.org. Okay. Hey, a few text messages. I'll take those so I don't get too far behind. Crazy Joe from Decatur. He only communicates in memes. You ever notice that, by the way? Boomer shaking his head. Crazy. See what he's got. I got to be careful. I don't know what you're telling me there, Crazy Joe, but okay. It's just pictures of dogs and cats. So, okay. Brian from Huntsville says, ESG in the NFL. Thanks, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, that was... Do you think that was kind of the, to me, that was the start when wokeism entered the NFL? I mean,
I believe so. I mean, when all that took place, then it just kind of took flight and never really stopped after that.
Yeah, just, which made no sense.
Right.
I mean, to me, okay, I'm going to harp again.
Do it.
Just going to harp again for a second. it would appear to me that organizations like Major League Baseball, doing the the Dodgers did the perpetual, the nuns of perpetual self-indulgence, or whatever they call themselves. And then you got NFL with their, transgender cheerleaders and whatever. I mean, they're forgetting their base. It's like they have forgotten where they came from. It's like when Bud Light went with Dylan Mulvaney on that can. And the little, knucklehead woman who was the marketing director who came up with the idea, she literally said what she wanted to do was get away from that kind of frat boy mentality, kind of move it away from that and just kind of get away. That's who has made you rich. That's who has made you successful. Why would you sacrifice those who brought you there to go for those who didn't? It's because there's a lack of common sense in the boardroom too often these days. And the ESG is a classic example of a lack of common sense in the boardroom. Someone needs to get hold of the boardrooms and go, you know what? Stop the freaking madness. How about we get back to becoming a profitable company with excellence in what we produce or provide? Period. That's why we exist. TL from Huntsville says, thank you for continuing to shine the light on the evils of forced ESG. Says, this menace is the same for the Federal Reserve's push to do a mandatory central bank digital currency. Oh, there you go. Taking away our right to choose our investments in our banks is a loss of fundamental freedom. Indeed. James from Harvest says, so I got a little behind, had to catch up on podcasts over the weekend, and I just wanted to inspire Phil to get back into that loud classic Mustang. Oh, thank you, brother. Says, mine's not a classic yet, but it's a 45th anniversary with Borla Max. She's loud, and by the way, I know you secretly love the color, which I can tell from the pictures is red. That's a good-looking ride, though, too, TL. I'm just going to say, that's mighty fine. Oh, I'm sorry, James. It's mighty fine. Then he ends it with RTR. You had to go there. Marcus from Huntsville says, not sure about the rest of you. It sounds like our state auditor has two pretty successful gun stores I need to go visit. Check them out, man. Check them out. And then John from Huntsville says, speaking of NFL, did you see the Dolphins slaughter the Broncos 70-20? 70-20. I had not caught that. But that's
a complete smackdown.
That's more than a smackdown. That's like we just crushed your souls.
Right. Well, it was quite interesting because of the head coach of the Broncos said, I think it was last year or the year before, Tua, who is the Miami quarterback, he said, "Oh, he's going to be done. He'll be benched after a year." And Tua walked in there and put 70 points on the board.
70. So, how many of those were? I mean, did Tua run some in himself?
Oh, he had some, but I mean, he threw a lot. I mean, it was a good game. So I was like, "Huh, there you go." That's
I was a Dolphins fan as a kid because I used to love. Dude, it was the day
Marino.
Of
Marino.
Like, oh yeah, when I was pre Marino.
Oh really?
I was. I'm talking about Bob Greasy, Larry Zonka, Paul Warfield, Mercury Morris. Man. I mean, it was this is old school, dude. Man, this is old school.
Some old Dolphins right
that's
there.
That's some seriously old Dolphins. Like, those Dolphins can't swim anymore. That's how old they are. Robbie from Montana says, oh, wow, the longest yard becomes reality. That's 70-20. Wow. You know, that's when you just look at the other team and go, we're glad you showed up. Bless your hearts. Broncos got a whole bless your heart from Tua. That's awesome. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're coming up with Little Red Classrooms. We'll be right back.